What's up? It's Lex and Stacy with Threesome Podcast 39. We are churning them out, folks. Enjoying this.
Churning. Yeah. Boiling. Pumping. Pushing.
Thrusting, Stacy. Don't forget that.
Yes.
Pulsating.
Undulating.
Yeah. Writhing.
Yes.
Doing everything to promote kinetic energy.
Exactly.
As we bump bellies.
We're all about the static.
Yeah. Wow, that's a gross out factor right away.
Please don't turn this off. Lisa, yeah. Don't turn the podcast off.
We're just fucking around. Don't do it. Okay, so for those of you that were having some trouble grabbing the podcast for your iTunes or for Blueberry or wherever, just want to let you know we experienced some downtime thanks to my little faux pas with GoDaddy.
I would like to say I never threw you under the bus. I was very professional with the...
Well, I mean...
Sorry for your inconvenience.
I have to throw myself under the bus because I thought I took care of it, but there was one more step on the credit card update thing that I was supposed to hit save on. So I got off, so I got off the page and coincidentally got another email from them about updating the password. So I thought that was my confirmation email, but it wasn't.
Gotcha.
So I got the call from you last night. I'm like, okay, that's not good.
No. And I was like, oh, it's so late.
Yeah.
Lexi Poos surely must be in bed by now.
No, I was watching the Mavericks get pummeled. But I don't have to do that anymore this season. Thanks, Rockets. Douche Rockets. You fouling, hacking, gross pieces of shit. But good luck to you in the next round. All right, so I got upsold by GoDaddy like crazy. I mean, I've never experienced anything like that before. I'm just wanting to renew my domain, and it's like, you know, get the super duper secure domain for $74 more, and you let's set this to 5 years.
I know, it's like every page you click on, there's more sales shit.
Yeah, and I just went. I just want my fucking domain updated and reinstated. What's that cost?
And see, for me, the thing is, there's so much crap now that you're clicking no to that by the time you get to finally the checkout cart and you're reassessing your order, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, what am I missing? What did I miss? Because I thought all of it was stuff that I didn't need. And it becomes then somewhat stressful.
Well, they also
anxiety-filled.
They also capitalize on your paranoia. I have the LexDaily.anything tied up.
Ah.
You know, like somebody's going to go get my name and have their own fucking website with it, you know, for .us or .whatever the fucking case is.
Yes. I honestly don't know. I can't think right now, honestly. The last time I ever went to any website outside of .org or .com. I can't even think of like seeing like a .net website.
Yeah, there's lots of .net websites.
Are there nothing that I visit, I guess?
Yeah. A few of my huge clients I deal with are .nets, you know, like AT&T and stuff like that. So, you know, they're out there. I think you can do .com or .net on AT&T and their mirrored websites. Mm-mm. I'm sure they got their shit all wrapped up. AT&T dot anything in the fucking alphabet is ours. AT&T dot pictures of everybody's ours.
Or ATTT.
Yeah.
Just in case you mistype.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got it together. So when we were having a discussion prior to the show, you told me that there is GoDaddy news that you were going to say for the show. So what is it?
Apparently, GoDaddy is officially pumping the brakes on its NASCAR sponsorship of Danica Patrick, and it will no longer be her primary car sponsor.
Oh.
Now, the internet domain company has been Patrick's number one car sponsor since 2010, but it has announced it will not renew its deal with the 33-year-old driver when it expires later this year. GoDaddy says it's working on a personal services contract with the driver. So I think that sounds like she's just going to still appear in commercials.
Yeah.
Now, she tells the Associated Press, quote, "I'm sad. I'm a little surprised and I'm sad." And she added, "But to say I didn't imagine this was not a scenario would be a lie. It's bittersweet. It's going to be really weird to think I won't drive the bright green can't miss it car next year."
Yeah, in last place.
Actually, one of the comments to this story was, "I would sleep with her, but not sponsor her."
Ha ha! Ha ha! Oh my God. 1700 called. They want their chauvinism back. That's awesome. That's something I'd never say, like, ever.
You'd think it, but you just don't let it pass your lips, you know?
I don't even think it all that much anymore, you know?
Good for you.
It's, you know, first off, it's ludicrous to think that somebody of Danica Patrick's stature would have to sleep with anybody for anything. Unless she wanted to. She's not a great driver when it comes to NASCAR. I thought she was a good IndyCar driver, very much so. But, you know, and at some point I do want her to taste a good degree of success before her 45th birthday hits.
She's got 12 years.
Yeah, I'm not even trying to be funny. I think she works pretty hard. I think she's good for the sport. I don't think
it doesn't hurt that she's hot.
Yeah. I don't think anybody's going to come along that's got the pedigree she has, where she's been driving since she was a kid and driving fast carts and cars and you know, has her longevity of driving and has the marketability that she does. So I'd just assume it be with her.
No, and I don't know. I know nothing about any kind of racing. I'm not a hater. I just don't care. Are there any other women out there?
You know, Stacey, it's not even a question of the woman. It's about the money and power of the teams in NASCAR. So once you get past the, there's like a big three teams, and there's like Richard Childress, and then there's Joe Gibbs Racing, and then there's like one or two more. And if you're not with one of them, you know, who have just an endless supply of money and sponsorship money and can do whatever it takes to get the right crew, to pay the best crew, you know, the guy that's 2 or 3 seconds faster in each position on the pit crew, and to travel and test and keep trying cars and keep trying to get an edge. It costs so much money. If you're not with one of those, then you are at a disadvantage, which she is.
Do you think, though, that if she looked like Janet Reno, that she would have been as successful as she's been, even though has she ever even won anything? I don't know.
I know there's been a couple female drivers that have made some inroads in different racing sports. You know, Shirley Muldowney in drag racing had a really nice career. And then you have Janet Guthrie, I think, was the first Indy 500 driver. And I think there's been one in between her and Danica. And that's about it. And the reason is the money in racing is so targeted that these guys that are sponsoring racing teams want to make sure that they're not taking any chances, and her being the first female driver to get this far in both two different kinds of racing, believe it or not, at 33 years old and all the racing she's done since she was a child, that she's still a risk.
Right.
To an investor. I'm sure there's people on the racing teams and people in NASCAR that think she can drive just as good as anybody else, because I truly believe that the crews and the money are what win on a regular basis.
Gotcha.
There isn't a high degree of skill or driving after a certain point. I think everybody that's made it this far and gets out there, the differential between them talent-wise is not big. But gotcha. The differential in some of their wallets is. And it's like horse show racing. You know, Samantha technically went to some big shows and did an amazing job, but because her horse wasn't $750,000, she's not going to finish first.
Is it because you have a cheap horse? And I'm saying that kind of tongue in cheek.
Yes.
But I mean, is it the horse's fault?
No, the horse can go out and do a perfect round, but if he's not of pedigree and if he doesn't have that look and isn't. Just doesn't have that $750,000 look about him. Some judges are just going to snub him. You know, every once in a while, a judge comes along and's like, and you came up through the ranks like that, so she tends to side with the rider. And those are the shows Samantha kicked ass in.
Right.
But, you're talking about somebody that trains the same every week, does the same thing every week, works her ass off, has a regiment, and the look of her riding does not change a lot. She's not a kid that gets freaked out or anything like that. So, one week she'd be 15th and the next week first. That there's a reason for that.
Because daddy got her a shitty horse.
She actually said that to me once.
Oh, yeah. And did you cry?
Not that daddy got me a shitty horse. She just said, she goes, it just fucking sucks. My dad can't afford the horses some of these girls can. And I just turned to her and I went, excuse me?
She knew what she was doing. She was throwing down the gauntlet.
And
prove it to me, daddy.
No, she didn't know what she was doing. She almost got taken out of the sport.
You may as well say my penis is small, too.
I just said, you know what? You're right. We should just sell them and get out of this sport. That's a great idea. Thank you. Thank you for relieving me of that financial responsibility. Appreciate it.
Now, when her horse is old and doesn't, do its thing anymore, are you just going to discard it? Or is she going to have that horse until it dies?
No, we kept her first horse. He just died 2 weeks ago at 28 years old.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I didn't know that. I'm so sorry. Oh, that's okay. He was pasture boarded and happy where she rode. And she'd go over and feed him and visit him. But he just, he had a perpetual foot problem through his whole life. So as he got older and got out there in wet pastures and stuff like that, it was just impossible to keep him healthy.
Right.
And he just downgraded over time, and it got to the point where we saw him laying down a couple times and we just decided to end his suffering. So
were you with him when it happened?
No, she went out and spent the day with him, the day before. She couldn't watch that. That was her first horse. There's no way she could watch that.
Aww.
We kept him, but the horse she rode after him, we sold, and then she bought another one, and when the time comes, we'll sell that. And, he's still, I think he's 12, so he's got, you know, 5-6 good years left.
Gotcha.
And you know, she'll be done. She turns 18 in June, which means she has till December to ride in the juniors, and then that'll be it. So,
aww.
Yeah.
Is she sad?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially, you know, since lately we haven't had, you know, a big amount of money to show. So she basically just goes out and trains all the time. And, you know, so she's a little discouraged. You know, also the NCAA took away equestrian. She had all the major universities looking at her. And it just, one day they just stopped coming around. And the NCAA is devaluing equestrian. It's not going to be an NCAA sport. So
she just kind of got fucked every which way, huh?
She kind of did, yeah. But you know, she's decided she wants to be in that profession in some degree.
Good.
So that's her plan right now. And she's awesome, man. She's the goods. So, you know, I see a little bit of Danica and Samantha. She's been riding since she was, you know, old enough to. And I think she's capable of anything. I think she can ride as good as anybody. So there's no reason why Danica Patrick can't drive as good as anybody. But she has the same problem. Her horse sucks.
Wow.
And it's got to be frustrating for her. But she really should have, instead of being like a number two driver on a good team, she should have been the number three driver on a great team and worked her way up.
What's her horse's name?
The one she has now?
Yeah.
Playboy.
What was the one that just died?
Shaq.
Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
Now, did they take the horse away? Did it get buried? Can she go visit it? Or is
no,
it
no, no. They glue? No. A truck comes and gets it, and they cremate it. And
do you get the ashes?
Some of them.
Aw, good.
If you get,
did you all, cry, Lex?
If you get all the, oh God, yeah, I love Shaq. Shaq took care of her. You know, so yeah, I was sorry to see him go. Plus, I related to him. He was kind of a dick. So,
with bad feet.
Know, I had to have his, just like me. Yeah, you know, I had to have his back at times. Like, Shaq's being an asshole. So, the way you're riding him is making him an asshole.
Ask your mother.
Yeah. Yeah. Your mom rides me like that, and it makes me an asshole. But anyway, that's sorry. Another story.
Yes.
Yeah. So, that's kind of where it sits right now. I like horses, though. I used to not care about them, but now horses are greatness to me. I totally understand them. I get them. I love being around them. I even tell everybody to shut up when the Budweiser horses come on the Super Bowl.
Good for you.
The Clydesdales.
I don't think they get the respect that they should.
Not like they used to, but maybe it's just the influx of information and commercials in the Super Bowl now that just everything passes by like swoosh. Just game over. And
that 9/11 commercial. Oh, my God. If yeah. I'm just in the mood to have a good cry, yeah. I'll bring that up on YouTube and then just sob silently for hours, you know.
Listen, Budweiser knows how to make you cry.
They do, right in the middle of the Super Bowl. Not like nationwide this past year. My God, we never talked about that because we were having issues.
That was the best spot ever. The kid.
I'm dead. Yes. There was just silence, and then everyone kind of looked at each other and said, "What? What?"
Yeah, I was texting back and forth with Peter on that, and I'm like, "Did you see that? That's awesome." They killed a kid in their commercial for insurance purposes.
And they showed the bathtub full of water and like the TV on the ground. Just all these things that could happen to your child at any given moment.
God. It's epic. Hey, it served its purpose.
Yes, people canceled nationwide everywhere. You ruined my Super Bowl, man.
You know what you ruined?
What?
My giant softball into the next story.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, yeah, you're right. I kind of lost track.
Oh my God, it was so good. I was patting myself on the back. Just let me reset it for everybody.
Okay.
All right, so before the show, we were going to talk about two things. We already talked about one of them, which was Danica. And then the other one was Budweiser's new rapey slogan.
Yes.
And so we go through Danica, then I equate Danica to Samantha. I tie the two of them together, and I talk about how much I love horses and tie it into the Clydesdales, the sappiest, most beautiful thing of all to make you think wonderful things about Budweiser before we cut their legs off. And no!
I go to Nationwide because I'm oblivious to the brilliance that was unfolding near me.
So instead of interrupting Stacy, I did like talking about the Nationwide spot, so that was good. But I just thought it'd be more fun to call you out on it afterwards. So there you go.
I am deserving of it. Yeah. My apologies.
We don't hide anything here. There's no backstage discussions. We're having it out right now.
Yes, look at us.
Yes. Rawr. All right, so. So tell me about Budweiser's wonderful new slogan, as if we haven't had enough of them already.
It is the perfect, this is a slogan, quote, the perfect beer from removing, for, let me start over, damn it. The perfect beer for removing no from your vocabulary for the night.
Wow.
First of all, it's wordy and it's just difficult to say. Yeah. Like, that's not sticking in my mind, you know.
Budweiser, no is not an option.
They may as well have just said that.
Yeah.
You know, no does not mean no when you're drinking a Bud.
Yeah. Bud makes her none the wiser.
Bud takes perfect with a roofie.
Yeah, that's right.
We've changed our recipe so that roofies dissolve better in our beer.
Oh, my God. Dudes, how do you pay the money you pay for people to sit in a room and promote your product, sometimes quite brilliantly, and come up with this? And how does not somebody stop you? I'm the CEO of Budweiser. I stop you. I'm like, get this fucking shit out of my office. What the fuck are you?
I know. Do you have like too many yes men around you, you know, for someone to step up and say, you know, seriously, are you people looking at this?
And that's exactly what that is. It has to be.
The same thing when you see like churches have put up that sign about, you know, Jesus comes in your mouth, you know, and stuff like that. And it's like, where's your pervert friends? Come on.
Yeah.
Surely someone at your church knows that that's not cool.
Yeah.
And not the message that everyone else is going to be taking away when they drive past your sign.
Yeah. Somebody at your church is a practical joker. And you're letting them get away with this.
Yes.
And for that, you've just got yourself a new member. Because wait till you see what I do to you.
A local golf course here, back a few years ago in the spring, they had put their little sign out that says, welcome back, golfers.
Yeah.
And someone had changed and put an L in there. So it says, welcome black golfers. So that was like our big scandal here in small town America.
Oh, my God. Welcome, black golfers.
We're progressive.
Oh, my God. You can just see the guy walking into the pro. Hey, the blacks are here. Awesome. Welcome.
We've got another one.
Here's your welcome basket, complete with an RC and a moon pie. Where the fuck do you live, Stacy?
It was a joke. The business itself didn't put it out there.
Oh, my God. Oh, shit.
Now, Budweiser does say that the Bud Light Up for Whatever campaign, because I guess that's the name of this campaign, so even that sounds clunky, is now in its second year, has inspired millions of consumers to engage...
And smoke pot.
To engage with our brand in a positive and lighthearted way. In this spirit, we created more than 140 different scroll messages intended to encourage spontaneous fun, like rape. It's clear that this message missed the mark, and we regret it. We would never condone disrespectful or irresponsible behavior.
Yeah, if I'm CEO of Budweiser, that never gets released. At some point, after I see a shitty slogan like that that's just long, the message wouldn't even resonate with me. I just hear how long it was and go, no, how about I say no? The fuck are you thinking? We're Budweiser. We're the fucking big cheese, the best, the biggest, the brand that nobody doesn't know. And this is the fucking bullshit you come up with? Get
out. The perfect beer for removing no from your vocabulary for the night.
Yeah. I mean, really, aren't we at the point, kids, with Budweiser, where you can just continually say, the world's number one beer, and we remind you to drink responsibly.
Clydesdale.
Yeah.
Baby Clydesdale.
Yeah. Or you have a Clydesdale, you know, you have like... You have like a bunch of kids about to tear into some Budweiser, and they're laughing like they're getting away with something, and the Clydesdale comes along and just kicks that fucking cooler halfway into the fucking pasture. Like, not on my watch, you little fucks.
And it's a big Clydesdale, one of the biggest.
Yeah, I mean,
and it's
the biggest.
Just sitting there looking at them down.
Biggest one they have, and it just walks over and they're going, aw. And then he just kicks their cooler before they break the law into the pasture and snarls at them.
Turns all gently. It's like slow motion, you know. Wah.
Yeah. Yeah, he like pulls one can out at a time and knocks it like Babe Ruth into the stratosphere.
He's pointing with a hoof over there.
Yeah. And then goes like 50 yards down the road and picks up a little, kneels down, you know, with his forearms on the ground and picks up the little girl with the lemonade stand, you know, and she gets on the horse and with her lemonade and goes over and pours all the boys what they should be drinking. And we
Mike's Hard Lemonade.
We sit there and go, Mike's Hard Lemonade. And because they just bought them. And and we sit there and go, oh, Budweiser, you're so wonderful and responsible. You're so amazing. I think I'll go buy some of your beer.
And everyone holds hands, sings We Are the World.
Yeah.
And then Daddy rapes Mommy.
And then... Yeah, but you can't see that because the Clydesdales are holding watch for him at the door.
Yes. Yeah. He's blocking the door. She can't get away.
Yeah. Yeah. After saving the kids, he fucks up and stands in front of the door so she can't get out. Then the next commercial is all the Clydesdales standing around him and supporting him for his, you know, horrible mistake.
And then the next commercial is nationwide showing mom's dead body.
Yeah. And the four dead kids that dad came out in a rage and killed. and him
suicide
and him going out into the pasture and grabbing the beer cans that were kicked out there and putting them next to him, trying to tell the police they drank to death.
Yes. I think we have Bud's new whole campaign set up for them.
The point of that whole exercise was they don't need one.
Right.
You know, it's like my whole thing would have been, somebody tell our ad team that we're fucking Budweiser. And we don't have to do these fucking stupid ass slogans or apologize for anything. It's clear and simple. We spent 50 years branding ourselves as the number one beer in the world. Let's tell people we're that.
But this is also the same company that, again, has the Clydesdales. They had the frogs and then the ferret later and the lizards. And they've got the what's up, you know, I mean.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, Stacey. That's what I'm saying. They did their work.
Yes.
They made it what they were set out to make it, and now don't fuck it up. Until somebody beats you, until somebody does campaign after campaign after campaign to reposition you, which is almost impossible to do, as long as you don't beat yourself, you're going to be the number one selling beer until time ends. So let's not do any cute sayings. Let's not shoot ourselves in the fucking foot. Let's not do ridiculous fucking things that 10th place beers or 20th place beers have to do. Let's just tell people the way it is. We're the fucking best. I would even run old campaigns to tell people, don't make us bust this shit out.
You know, kind of going off on a tangent, but I actually said that to someone during the Super Bowl. Would it be effective if Coca-Cola just brought out the old, I want to buy the world a Coke, like the original, not redoing it so that it's modern, but like the 70s, I want to buy the world a Coke commercial. Do you think the nostalgia factor there would like work, or do you think the kids would be like, what's this?
I think the way I would do that commercial is find out who all those people were. You know, they have video releases. Find out who they were, see how many of them are still alive, and see if you can do some sort of morph into them singing 50 years later.
That would be beautiful, Lex. We should write to Coke.
Holding a Coca-Cola. Standing in the same place. I mean, come on.
That's what I'm saying. I think that would be really cool. I think they did something. They at least like played the song, but it was like new and modern back a few years ago, wasn't it?
What's the message? We've been drinking Coke for 50 years.
And our teeth are rotted. Must be
pretty fucking good. Are there other people you don't see standing here? They've been drinking it 70 years.
They're dead.
But I'm sorry. I don't think Coca-Cola kills people. I think I see too many people that are alive that drink Coca-Colas, eat peanut butter and jelly, and smoke, and they're 110 years old because they don't spend their days worrying about calories and dying, and they just wake up and do it every day. Have some smokes, have some drinks, chill out. Don't let it bring you down. They just hear Neil Young in their heads.
I try not to drink. Yes.
Old man sitting by the side of the road.
Aww. I love that song.
Oh, God. It's one of the greatest songs ever. Don't let it bring you down.
You're a man of many voices, Lex.
Thank you. I try.
I love it. I love your Star Trek.
Really?
I listened to that podcast the other day. Yes. If you and I were ever intimate and we got past the first awkward fuck after that, I'd be like, please do Shatner now.
Bend over, Stacey. Get ready for warp drive. Spock, come over here and fuck Stacey too. Yes, Captain. Captain, it's illogical to think that both of these penises can go in the same hole at once. I'll have to go to another location. Stand in front of her, Spock. She likes that.
It would be actually the most amazing sex ever.
Actually, we could bring Scotty and Uhura up here, and she'll take it. I'm going to need everybody on the bridge. Mr. Sulu, warp factor 10 on Stacy. Yes, Captain.
That's awesome. You need to do an entire podcast, Sulu.
Stacy, I've invited the Klingons on board to help.
Stacy.
We gotta go. I've got a towel off.
Yeah. Look, Dr. Evil's on board.
Oh. It's time, Stacy.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I never heard
time
you
for
do
you
that
to
one.
Get grudged by myself and Mr. Bigglesworth.
It would be an evil fucking.
We're going to call this sexual experience the Alan Parsons Project.
The Alan Parsons Project's a band, ass.
Shut up, Scott. You're not going to get to taste this fine patootie this time.
Oh my God, Lex. I didn't know you did even better than Star Trek.
It's illogical to think, Stacy, that Lex isn't capable of going clear across the boundaries of space to do any kind of imitation he likes.
Damn it, Spock, shut up!
Really, Doctor? Okay, I'm going too far. Anywho.
You're my hero right now.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm kind of sad because I've exhausted all of my imitations.
You need to work on
even
Morgan
more sad
Freeman
you
from...
Oh, from Shawshank?
Yes. Oh, Andy.
Andy. Andy Dufresne crawled through 500 yards of... I forget what he said.
Shit, I think. Yeah. Shit and human filth.
Came out on the other side a free man. Andy Dufresne, my friend.
See, everybody knows that line.
Mm-hmm. It's the greatest movie ever. So there you go. Well, that was a way to end a podcast right there, huh?
Woo!
You just had space sex with 10 people.
And Dr. E.
And Mr. Bigglesworth.
Woo. We don't gnaw on the kitty.
Alan Parsons Project's a band, ass. Seth Green. He's so hot.
The fact that his name is Scott.
Yeah.
Scott.
Shut up, Scott. The best guy in those movies was Robert Wagner.
Yeah, and Rob Lowe. Lowe does a great Robert Wagner.
Rob
so the
Lowe
two
doing
of them.
Robert, yeah. Yeah.
The outtakes where they're in bed together and they look at the camera and go, is it cheating if it's with yourself?
Oh, man. Fun stuff. All right, Stacy. We are done with Threesome Podcast 39.
Yeah.
Next up, the big 4-0. How about that?
Wow.
We are kicking some ass.
Yes, we are.
So I hope you folks have enjoyed the Threesome Podcast. We're having a good time doing it. And, of course, you can check it out on LT2, our podcast channel with the Lex and Terry app, which you can download for iPhone, Android, in the iTunes and Google Play Store, respectively. So go get it. It's free, and you can hear all kinds of great podcasts on there. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.